What's up, Walker fans? An oncoming threat disrupts peace at the ranch. Madison and Troy are trying to find some answers, and the Clark kids are getting it in. Season 3, Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? This episode was on fire, burning in water, drowning in flame, no pun intended. I was really excited about this episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm your host, Timothy Michael. You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Timothy Mike, and I am joined by my lovely co-host.
Hello, I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer, N-A-T-A-L-E-E-D-Y-E-R, on all social media platforms.
Awesome, all of those.
All of them.
What was your initial thought of this episode?
Thank God we're back to those guys.
Wait, which guys?
The Clarks.
Yeah.
The Clarks are my people.
Yeah. So I stole Natalie's saying, just to be clear.
Yeah.
What did you say about the Clark kids?
I said the Clark kids are getting it.
They really were this episode.
And they were getting it, and then at least one of them dipped.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I loved.
Yeah. We'll get more into that. I liked this episode because we're slowly getting back to everybody's perspective,
yes.
And we're not just focusing on one group, which is what I love about Fear of the Walking Dead, is when we're jumping from group to group to see what everybody is going through.
Right.
So that's the one reason why I really like this episode.
Yeah, it was everybody was back in it. It mm-hmm. wasn't just a, you know, centric episode like the Nick one from season 2 where
right.
I was like, I am bored.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's talk about this opening.
Mm-hmm.
So this old couple makes a reappearance. I didn't think that they would. I just thought that was a really nice moment in the last episode. Didn't think that this was going to happen. What did you think about that?
I mean, it was sweet. Let's be real. It was
did
sweet.
Did you think it was cheesy?
They're too, it was a little cheesy.
I didn't see. I didn't get that.
I mean, okay. Well, I think it was cheesy because she didn't have teeth.
Okay,
that part, I was like, oh, okay, come on. But everything else was very sweet. I mean, I guess that's the way you want to go out if you're together.
Yeah, I mean,
in the apocalypse.
Russell and Martha, I mean, we kind of figured out their backstory going through the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this episode was kind of depressing. I feel like a lot of the characters are going through this depression phase. What did you think?
Can you blame them?
I mean, no.
No, they're all just trying to find their way, and that makes perfect sense
right.
in my mind.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm trying to get our chat up here so I can see.
Oh yeah, Anthony, our wonderful engineer, if you can pull up our live chat for us, just in case anybody's in there. Yeah, I just thought everybody's dealing with this this
coming hurts. Sylvia, but you're killing me. Sorry.
Is that what they said?
I said gumming hurts? Question mark.
Gumming hurts. I think you said gumming hurts. I was like, damn.
No.
Okay, yeah,
no.
That was a little cheesy. I mean,
it was a little cheesy, but it was sweet.
It was sweet. I thought him, the Romeo and Juliet style
to be
suicide
fair,
was
I
pretty
didn't,
cool.
I didn't think he was going to kill himself.
You
thought
didn't
he
think
was
so?
Just. I honestly kind of thought that she'd been dead for a while, and what Nick saw was them dancing like that
yeah.
when she was dead anyway.
Oh, so you thought it was like a flashback?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
I thought it was like the same night that they saw.
Right.
That he saw this. It was not, obviously.
Well, I thought that was interesting that these two are kind of sleeping by themselves because you mm-hmm. never know when something like that could happen. One of them can die in their sleep. And if she wasn't off walking around or doing whatever she was doing, you know, and had teeth, he could have been dead too. And then that could have been the end of that community because then they could have... It only takes one, you know, infected to kind of mess everything up.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there are these things called doors. That for the most part,
there wasn't
as long
a door on
keep
that
them
little,
close.
There wasn't a door on that. It was like a swinging door. They just like, push
right,
it open.
Okay. It was a saloon door.
That's true. I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I just
I
feel
don't
like,
think it would have been the downfall of the entire compound.
I don't know. I
I'm
just
saying.
Feel like every time we there's a walker infiltrates anything, more just happen to come up.
Right. Yeah.
What are they saying in the chat?
Oh, I'm just saying on Tuttle Game Show, we'll definitely get to that. Daniel leaving Strand.
Oh, yeah.
We're
no,
just,
we definitely
we'll get
will.
There, but yeah.
So Alicia's a pothead now. Who would have thought?
A pothead. She's not
no,
a
I'm
pothead.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I mean, she's just a partier now.
I mean...
Girl had a hangover.
I mean... Does everybody know that this Bible study group isn't really
apparently,
Bible study?
Apparently.
Because Madison caught on to it, and Jake
Real
caught
quick.
On to it. Or Jake knew about it.
I think Jake knew about it.
Right?
I think it was... Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe just the smart people know.
What are your thoughts on that?
On the Bible club?
Yeah.
I mean, Bible kids were always the craziest, weren't they?
I mean, but can you blame, like, do we think that Madison is a bad mom for...
Oh, no, I think she's amazing. She's the cool mom. She's the cool mom from Mean Girls. It's like, with the there's fake not alcohol the dog, in like, this, but, like, did you want some? Because, like, you could have some.
Yeah.
But she's also just very much like, you know, what did she say? I think I wrote it down. I did not write it down, but she says, you know, oh, that's the price you pay. You know, she's like, Alicia's learning.
Yeah.
And that's fine, which is a little actually kind of confusing that she's not overly worried about Alicia when Nick went down a path of drugs. Where, and like, because I feel like many mothers who have children who are addicts would probably also be super worried about their second child.
That's a good point.
I just thought about that. Sorry.
I know, that's a great point, though. Do you think it's because she realizes that, you know how when one child is the focus because they're going through, like, addiction or something like that, like, they're the bad child, but the good child who has good grades is always, like, overlooked, like, oh, we know that they'll always do, like, the good thing.
Right.
Do we think that that still is how Madison looks at Alicia, and it's like, she's just the good kid, she'll be fine.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think maybe she just knows that Alicia has better judgment than Nick maybe has.
Yeah.
In that sense. Mm-hmm. And obviously Alicia is hurting, and it's, I don't know if you guys have ever had those really bad hangovers, but you're like, never again.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know, it's funny because as soon as I saw what Alicia was going through, like, you had to party pretty hard to get a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they addressed that, I was like, something is going on with Alicia. Like, not everything is right.
Oh yeah.
And this is from season one and season two. Like, this girl has been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she always goes to a guy,
mm-hmm.
whether that be a father figure or her brother or a lover, boyfriend,
a
whatever.
A random person over the radio.
Right. She always goes in that direction when she's struggling on the inside. So did you think that her sleeping with Jake was like a big revelation, or do we expect that?
Well, as Stephanie Cersei, I think that's how you say it, or I just totally named you a Game of Thrones character.
I like it.
She said, I thought Alicia and Jake hooking up happened much faster than expected. I agree. I thought it was going to be a slow build. But then I was also like, get it, girl. I literally wrote, get it, girl.
I mean, can you blame her, though?
It's the doing, no.
No, because, I mean, if you
have no idea what's coming tomorrow.
Exactly. And do you think that that Travis's death had any kind of influence in her making that kind of irrational decision?
If you're implying that she's being impulsive because she is dealing with his death, I would potentially agree. I also think it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. If she was, in fact, having sex in the first place with
her
first boyfriend, they never really showed.
That's so true. Well, I'm assuming.
I mean, we can't assume all high school kids are having sex. God, Natalie. I mean, you're right. You know who seemed fine, though? Gretchen. Gretchen can handle her stuff.
Oh, yeah, she can.
I'm really excited to see where Gretchen goes, character-wise. Because I feel like her and Alicia can become really good friends. And I feel like... What do you think? No?
No, Gretchen's, like... Okay. Gretchen is a piece of work. And I'm not sure. I don't trust her. Mm-hmm. I think... Well, I trust her in the sense that she's not going to do anything malicious.
Okay.
Intentionally. But she's also very naive compared to Alicia.
Because she's been behind these walls.
Protected.
Yeah.
And so...
So do you think that inexperience leads to irrational decisions?
Yes. Or not irrational, maybe, but just, like, she's going to do something impulsive, and Alicia's going to get dragged along with it, where they're like, let's go out and do this thing and meet a walker, or, I mean, an infected, or whatever. And then Alicia's going to have to be like, bitch, you crazy.
Yeah.
This world is not how you see it.
Right. What do we think about Luciana and Nick? Because
how about you start with Luciana and Nick? Because you had a whole thing about Luciana.
Here's the thing. We were watching the episode, and you had said that you were getting tired of Luciana. And I was just curious
because
why.
Well, because she was just... Like, I get that you don't trust this world that you are in, but she was very... like, Nick, we need to leave. And it's like, dude, do you not remember having your own family?
Yeah.
Like, he can't just leave his family. He's already done that once.
But see, that's the thing that is weird for me in this relationship, because Nick has done it once, and I would expect him to do it again, but Luciana, after Madison had that conversation with her, I didn't expect her to still want to leave. I thought that she would, at least as a human being, see that she owed Madison and Travis, that family in general, for saving her life, that she would kind of try to persuade or try to, you know, stay.
But she's sort of selfish.
So is Nick, though.
Yeah, and that's why they worked out really well together for the longest time. However, in this situation, they're both being selfish, and that means they can't be together. Like, one of them was going to have to sacrifice something. And I'm happy it wasn't Nick, because Nick needs to step up and be there in this moment.
Yeah.
Instead of just running away again. And as for her, I mean, if this is what she needs, and I don't know. If I was her, I would have become like a sleeper cell agent person. I don't know. I would have like infiltrated, kind of like the Clarks are trying to do. This is probably why I like the Clarks so much, though.
Well, but she's also worried about her people, who she said that there are prohibition tunnels that they could be hiding in. Because Nick tried to make that point.
True.
You know, your people are probably already gone. And she said, no, they're probably in these tunnels. I feel like everybody's looking for somebody. And that just brings us to, you know, Daniel and Victor in this car. And, you know, they're trying to find Ophelia. It's like everybody this season is trying to find somebody.
Right.
What's up in the chat?
Oh, no, just Stephanie says, I thought Luciana was insensitive to Nick feeling conflicted about leaving his family, and I completely agree, and that's why I say she's sort of selfish, because she didn't even take his, like, feelings really into consideration, I would say. Like, she just kept saying, we need to leave. You're afraid to leave your family.
I think it's inconsiderate, not because of Nick feeling conflicted about leaving his family, but the fact that these people have literally risked their lives. Travis literally risked his life in that bathroom, in this compound, for Luciana, and yet she still wants to leave.
Is that something you can really say, though? Because he was going to do it for Nick, regardless.
But he included her name in it. He could have let her out.
That's true.
That's the point. That's why I'm if it was just, I'm sticking up for my son, but he literally included Luciana, too.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I don't know. That's what gets me. But back to Daniel and Victor, driving in this awesome kick-ass car. I like how Strand was trying to cover his ass by hinting that Ophelia was no longer at the hotel.
Right. I also love that Daniel sussed that out real quick. But at the same time, it's a little unrealistic for Daniel to believe that everybody is going to be where they say they are, or were.
Right.
Because this world is constantly changing. And, like, did we really expect the hotel to have already fallen?
No.
Like, how long has it been? Not very long.
He said days.
Yeah. And the hotel has already fallen. And don't know how, don't know why. But, like, so he had a valid point. He was covering his own ass.
Yeah,
he definitely had a valid point.
Well, let's talk about the storyline really quick, because I always liked Daniel and Victor's interactions, because they are two alpha males, and they always have these, like, headbutt moments, which I personally think that they should just get over, because they have a bigger goal in mind, like finding Ophelia or Ace, just surviving in general.
They should just whip them out and measure them and then deal with it later.
They almost did in this episode, because Daniel had his out, so... and it is Pride weekend, so you never know, guys. I like how Victor asked Daniel how he survived the fire, but then Daniel just turned it around on Victor and said, well, why did you leave the hotel?
Yeah.
And that should have just proven to Victor that something was up, that Daniel knew what was going on.
Right.
Because why would you leave a hotel?
Strand had to have known this from the beginning, that Daniel was suspicious. That's why he kept saying, like, let's take more time. He was trying to make it so that, something happened. She could have left during that time. He was trying to figure out, like, make time so that he could figure out what to say and what to do.
Right.
It didn't work, obviously. Bad karma to the hotel people for kicking Strand out of after he helped deliver that baby.
Who said that?
I agree.
Is that Stephanie?
This is Stephanie again.
Yes.
Stephanie, you're good.
Thank you for that, Stephanie. Agreed. I just think that... Yes, I agree that the...
Hold on. Also, I just want to, like... Kirby, I totally agree that the group there is they're closeted racists, and that Luciana definitely does see the bigger picture. I just am more of, like, a personal, like, storyline where I'm like, yeah, but he loves...
No, we're definitely going to back to that, Kirby. I just want to talk about this hotel really quick. Because you're right. I didn't expect that the hotel would fall so soon. Like you said, it's only been days. And then they drive up to the hotel and everything's chaotic.
Like, oh,
and you're like, of course. And this is exactly why Elena didn't want to open the gates to everybody in the first place. Do you think that it was Strand's fault ultimately?
Because he opened the gates?
Because he allowed people to come in and said that he was a doctor and all this stuff.
No, I think she's crazy. That lady locked a bunch of people in a room with a infected. Like, I don't trust her.
Here's the thing. Elena, I can see, I agree with Elena, because when it becomes that I need to do this to survive, she did what she needed to do to survive. Do I agree with it wholeheartedly? No.
Yeah, but who's to say that she didn't pull something like that again?
But then this just
that made the hotel fall.
But see, this just brings me back to the my point in the beginning with, you know, Martha and Russell, and it only takes one walker for an entire community to fall. This could have happened in the hotel.
If you don't have safety precautions, yeah. But they could have. She had the keys. Mm-hmm. They had a generator. Like, this girl could have locked down this place and made it so people were in their individual rooms or whatever the situation. In addition, they had to have brought in somebody who was either infected or, you know, close to dying. And there's just things that you can do, like precautionary things you can do to control within this world.
No, I agree with you. Build. I mean, I think we're all quite, like, wondering what happened to this hotel. And I hope that they do a flashback. Do a flashback. Sorry, at some point. You're so mature. God.
My mom is the one that made me think. She told me when I was really little, she's like, I always laugh or I always giggle when I'm in a meeting and somebody says do. And now I giggle every time somebody your best. Does that.
Did we expect Daniel to do what he did to Victor?
You mean leave him?
Like, not just leave him, because I could understand just leaving him
screw
there.
Screw him over?
Exactly.
Like, ring the bell?
Yeah,
like,
give
bitch,
him
what you
like,
doing?
Give him a taste of his own medicine, essentially.
Is that what he was doing?
I mean, if we're looking at it like Daniel thinks that this is what Strand deserves, and he's giving him what he deserves, then yeah.
Wait, I mean, I'm confused, though. Are you implying that Strand has done something such as ringing a bell, attracting infected, and then dipping?
I'm saying that this is how Daniel might think it is.
That he's comparing what Strand did to Ophelia, or to him, by saying that Ophelia wasn't there.
And we all know that Daniel goes to the extremes here. So it wasn't... It personally didn't surprise me that he would do something like this. Did I think it would happen that fast? No.
I don't know. I have... Daniel's just on my shit list now. How about that? Let's go with that. He's on my shit list because this is a world, and while Strand might not know where Ophelia is, he has a better idea of what's happening in this general area. Mm. He knows which way the Clarks went, right. And he knows a bunch of little things, and so I think... I don't know.
Do we think that Strand was overreactive in the way that he reacted to the news of Strand not the honest truth of Strand not really knowing where Ophelia was? Because in my mind, if I was Daniel,
that's how he's gonna react.
I mean, but if I was Daniel, I would have at least kept Strand around to help look for her, because it really wasn't in control that Ophelia left,
right?
And Strand was telling the truth. She did leave them. She left Alicia to die. She took the truck. She was out.
Yeah.
So,
which also, we still haven't found her.
That's another thing, you guys. Ophelia is still MIA. We don't know where she is. I really think that we'll talk about it in predictions.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But I just want to circle back to Troy and Madison. Mm-hmm. Because this relationship is one of the most evolving relationships this season. Because there's this whole, like, mother figure to Troy, but Troy being a sociopath, kind of like Nick... Like, he has problems, Nick has problems, Madison wants to be a mother to both of them, but she's really just keeping close to him, like, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this relationship of Madison and Troy?
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. She's manipulating the kid, but I'm trying to figure out, because Madison's... guys, I am on a mission to figure out Madison's past. I kid you not. So... One, I totally took, let's try and go through it in how it happened with the Troy and Madison storyline, which started out with him saying, you're riding in front with me. Mm-hmm. And they're having that conversation about, I think, or maybe, no, sorry, take it back. They see the walkers, or mm-hmm. the infected, and Madison says... You know, she sides with Troy because it was a little like, okay, now I got a point. for myself on your side.
Right.
And she goes down there, and I wanted to say this because I think that Troy is kind of this weird chaotic good where everything he does, he's like, this is for good. But he's, like, crazy. So he's killing these infected. But also, that's, like, a bonus point for the world because now there's, like, 10 less infected.
True, but did you notice, just to point out really quick before you move on with your points, the fact that he was only cutting, like, their arms off first before doing the headshots? Like, that just screamed sociopath to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you want them to suffer. Not that they can
but
suffer.
But in this world, it's chaotic good, so...
I just thought it was weird because everybody else was going for the head. The guy with the arrows was going for the head. Madison was going for the head.
Well, it's because he's having fun.
Right, which is creepy.
Okay.
It creeps me out. Go on with your points, though.
They're talking in the car, and Madison is... They're back and forthing about, oh, is she going to be able to do it with real people?
Yeah.
And I like that she just turns up the music, because she kind of pulls, like, a childish, like, I don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't really remember what I was going to say about that situation.
I think what's interesting about Troy in general is that his dad, Jeremiah, has kind of... revealed that he's a shitty dad, but he has also enabled this behavior throughout the years, which only makes me think of your theory last episode, which was that Jake might be as screwed up as the both of them as well.
But maybe in a different way. But now I'm not so sure, because he's all, like, artsy, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't think so. You guys, I feel like, you know how in a movie they say, like, in a scary movie they say, like, never have sex or else you're going to die? I feel like because Alicia slept with him, now it's only going to be revealed that he's crazy, and now she's going to think, like, now she's only going to feel worse because she slept with a crazy dude. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, during one of these interactions, I think when they found where the helicopter went down, Madison was walking, and she had her hand on her gun like a cop. And I'm like, this girl walks like a cop? So now I'm pretty sure that she was a cop in the past life. But I don't know. That's one of my theories now.
That she was a cop?
Yes, yeah, so she was a cop.
Well, she was a guidance counselor. We know that.
Or maybe like a soldier. Somebody who has the training.
Maybe she just has this very assertive way of walking because that's just what this timing has done to her. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
The apocalypse changes you, and it probably changes the way you walk also.
Sure.
Like, just the way that you carry yourself. Like, you have to be ready at all times. Like, you have to walk with a purpose. Like, there are things that... you know, you can't just walk lackadaisical anymore. It's you know, walking like a cop. And if that's what the purpose, then that's what it looks like.
It's the hand on the gun thing.
You have to,
like,
be ready.
But it wasn't just, like, hand on the gun, like, with the gun ready to pull. It was, like, hand on the gun in this certain way. Anyway, I just am analyzing it way too much because
I want to
know her past.
I know.
And then... this brings us all back to one of the things, I think it was in the truck, when she convinces them to stop walking, I think. But she's talking to Troy, and she's like, you loved your mother even though she didn't love you. She must have hated you, et cetera, all the way to the end. And you did all, and I was like, so now I'm also pretty sure that Madison, her mother or her father, she has a past family member where she was Troy, essentially, where she was working to take care of this family member. And they didn't appreciate her. They didn't love her. So I think they have a lot more in common than we think.
You're giving me life right now on all these Madison backstories. It's like, she's a cop. She was an abused or emotionally neglected child. Like,
I think it's all of them.
Well, Stephanie, apparently, I think this is what you're about to say, agrees with either me or you, because I don't know, you're kind of falling back on the whole Jake is a bad guy thing, but I'm on it now. But she says, I have a feeling Jake is really this bad guy, but we just don't know it yet. I agree,
but also I'm like, oh, but you have
I feel
an
like you're backpedaling
heart.
Though.
You got an artist heart, and you got, like, poems.
Poems? Really? I can't with you. See, you'd be the first to die in a zombie apocalypse. I can't with you. The first guy that comes up to you. You're like, oh, you're writing your poems. I care with you.
No, but he's helping Alicia, which is why I like him now. Okay.
Helping her in what way? Like, satisfy her sexual needs? Or helping her what? Cope with
too.
This?
Which is one way to cure a hangover, you know.
That's so true. That's right.
No, I'm saying that he's helping her see the light. Like, he's going through this whole, like, you can't disregard art and media, in a sense. Just because we're in this world where it's like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
The art is what's showing you what matters. which I think is a great point to have. Because I'm an artist, and I'm like, yeah.
I just feel like with when you're in an environment like this, I think that finding something to live for is what you need to do. And I'm glad that Jake has found what he wants to live for, but I still don't trust him. Going back to what Kirby had said at Brokejaw Ranch, there is this... And I don't want to throw around the word racist because...
How about we just say that there are a lot of white people in this place and there's not a whole lot of minorities?
Well, I mean, Jeremiah said it when he was talking to Nick and he said, you know, or Jake said it, one of those guys said it, when he was like, you know, we, you know, screwed over the Native Americans, we, you know, screwed over, like, all these people to
Jake
get what we want.
It was Jake quoting his father, I
Thank
believe.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. I just feel like racist is a very strong word, but I agree on some level. There is this white supremacist kind of, and now I'm saying like not white supremacist
well, we
group, but there is.
We have to talk about the fact that it we were revealed that, what I understand is this land that this ranch is on was probably part of like a Native American reserve. Of some reservation of some sort. And I don't know what happened, but... Walker, I believe
Walker,
is his name.
Yes.
He accused them. He said lots of death has already happened. He's already been abused by them, you know. And I don't know if that means he's taken it to like my ancestors were abused by this guy, but it seems like he had a issue with Crow getting eating his head guy, like specifically
Phil.
Yeah. Yes, Phil. Because he said his name, I believe. Like, it was a direct, this guy...
Screwed us over.
But so we killed his men, and we tortured him.
Right, but Phil, I believe, was also one of the founding fathers, is what, you know, Jeremiah and Russell, part of that group. Do we think that Jeremiah taking over Brokejaw Ranch, this whole thing that with the Native Americans happened before the apocalypse? Like, he went in and slaughtered all these people, or went to war, battle with all these people to take over this land, and they've just held on to this grudge until now.
I don't know.
Or do we agree that, or do you think that that it just has to do with him and Phil?
I think it's the ranch itself, the people on the ranch, or the original crew of the ranch.
Okay.
I think that there is a deep-seated issue, like, battle between those two groups.
I mean, if we look at our history, there has always been, the Westerners did come over and take this land from the Native Americans. I didn't think that they were going to address it in this show. It's just another layer of, you know,
subtext.
Yeah, that I just wasn't prepared for. I mean, it started with the compound and, you know, killing of the brown people, as they say in the show, and now it's come to Native Americans and them trying to reclaim their land. Do we think that the show is getting a little too political? Or do we like the points that it's hitting?
Well, I am a political person, so I like it, but I can understand why people don't.
Do you think it's because people don't like to face the reality?
I think we are treading on very dangerous
minefield right now. I mean, this is what
it's
we have.
True.
To, we have
it's true.
To make. We have to stir the pot a little bit, you guys.
I think yeah, what you said.
Yeah.
Just now. Yes, okay. I agree. But I'm also trying not to piss people off.
Let them be mad. Let them be mad. You guys be mad.
Hold on. Jim Cat said, what do you think? Yeah. Kirby Freeman said, dude, the Clarks are the bad guys. Been saying this since the first season.
Wow.
I mean, I could see that. They're still my people.
I
think they're good people. So.
Kirby, I totally disagree with that. I feel like everybody's been doing what they needed to in order to survive. One of the quotes that I did want
to... They don't go out of their way to kill people like some of these groups are.
Thank you. Right.
They're just trying to survive.
And I just want to point out that conversation between Jeremiah and Nick when Nick was cleaning up the house and Nick said, it's the living against the dead. Shouldn't that be the way that it is? And Jeremiah, being this, you know, very experienced person, said that it's not that easy, which I thought was really sad, because if we've learned anything from Fear the Walking Dead, it's that you do have to fear the living more than you do the dead, because people are so malicious and
unpredictable.
And unpredictable, and they want what you have. And I love that it's this double-edged sword of you can't really trust people, and you can't really let your guard down because of this other ongoing threat. And that's what I love about Fear the Walking Dead, because it keeps you on your toes at all times. Were you going to say? Yeah.
I'm going to say what Madison is doing with Troy, and I meant to mention this earlier, is exactly what Jeremiah was doing with Nick today, this episode. Okay. He was stepping in as Nick's father figure.
Thank you.
Which I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening right now.
I'm so glad you pointed that out. I am, because I was like, Jeremiah has had a problem with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Nick obviously has had
over addiction.
Right. I disagree with you on the fact that they're doing the same thing that Madison is doing, because Madison, like you said earlier, is kind of playing Troy just to kind of get closer to him. I don't think that it was more of a bonding thing with Madison and Troy, where I feel like Jeremiah and Nick are bonding, especially
with
that last
moment. I think they're
legitimately
bonding, but I think Jeremiah is doing it with the intention, the same intention as Madison is.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Because it's bring this kid in, because clearly Madison cares about him. It's everybody. Everybody is a chess piece in this game.
So you're thinking he's using Nick to get closer to Madison, then?
Yeah, and to get Nick more on his side, so that when Nick and Madison talk, Nick's going to vouch for him.
And you know what's funny is that Nick is very persuasive. He did it at, you know, the house that belonged to Thomas, with what's her face, and now he might do it with Jeremiah too. He might sway to his side.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see.
We do need to take a moment and thank our sponsors, because we wouldn't be able to make the show with you guys and our fans if we didn't have people who are paying us, sort of, not really.
Paying the light bills here at the stream.
Yeah, paying the light bills and the camera bills and all of those fun bills. So today it is from Denny's, because did you guys know that Denny's now has an app where you can order food from?
No, because I don't want to be obese. I would use it all the time. I would use it all the time. All
right, so now we have Denny's On Demand. They've taken the same always open philosophy that is synonymous with our restaurants and applied it to online ordering, bringing access to our craveable dinner fare wherever our guests want it. Diner fare. I cannot read today. If that's not enough for you guys, having access to Denny's food 24/7, they also have partnered with Hulu to give their guests a free 60-day trial of the premium streaming service.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely cool. For a limited time, users who place an order with Denny's On Demand will receive the complimentary Hulu trial and will be able to enjoy their meal while binge-watching thousands of hit shows, premium original content, films, and much more. So with Denny's On Demand new online ordering, your diner favorites are at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click to order online or download the Denny's app. That's Denny's.com.
That was amazing. That was amazing. I loved your movie phone voice. That was awesome. Guys, check out Denny's app. That's pretty awesome. I think
at
I Denny's. Might.
Com.
Because I love me some Denny's. Back to
our cravings.
Back to fear, really
okay.
quick. One of the moments that I want to kind of point out is the moment with Madison and Troy in the end, when after the whole, like, him putting the knife through her throat thing, and she really wanted to become the leader of this group. Not become the leader, but show that she could lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even to the last even steps of when Troy was walking a little bit ahead of her and then she caught up, I felt like that right there even showed that she wants to be equal to him or even greater than he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In eyes of this group. Because I feel like that is her ultimate way of taking over.
I agree, and I think she also earned a couple of, respect points this episode. While she did need help fighting the infected in the first sequence, she then did stand up to what probably a lot of those soldiers see as a greater threat, which is Troy. And then also, did we catch his name?
Mike or Blake? There were a lot of, I couldn't match the names to the faces.
Mikey. Let's call him Mikey.
Yeah.
Because I think it was
him. I think it was Mike.
Since Mike was in it quite a bit. He saw Troy with the knife to her neck. Wasn't going to stop him, but watched her stare him down and say, and get out of it. So I think she definitely earned at the very least one, if not three, followers.
Yeah, I agree.
Or people who respected her enough to be like, yes, I would follow you.
Were we surprised that Luciana left?
No.
See, I feel like once they were having that conversation with him and Nick and Luciana, and he was trying to convince her and she gave him that kiss, I was like, dude, she knows what you're doing. She knows that you're trying to change her mind. And I knew he was going to wake up alone. I knew she was going to leave. Do we think that we're going to see her again is my question.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think that she's, more of, a sub-character that they'll just, write her off? Because we still have yet to see Ophelia. So why would they keep on Luciana? You know what I mean?
Can we do predictions? Can we get to there?
Yeah, no, okay, let's do predictions, you guys. We have clearly a lot of predictions to do.
We do, okay.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you, Anthony, for the lights. The lights are my favorite.
Yes.
So, go ahead. What was your predictions about Luciana?
My predictions are that Luciana... I imagine that we're going to follow Luciana to Ophelia.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's a good one.
Because Luciana has been a thread that we are following. Yes, we're constantly talking about finding Ophelia, but there's nobody or thing at where Ophelia is because otherwise, or not any of our characters, because otherwise we would... What if they pull with Ophelia what they pulled with Daniel, where she just comes back in a season?
I mean...
We could assume she's dead until
that
then.
Could possibly happen. I mean, I looked on the IMDb page, and she has done 34 episodes, the same amount of episodes as Madison
she's
and them
She's credited done. For them.
Right.
That so doesn't mean she's in them. She's
know.
Just credited.
I don't know, you guys.
Because she's a primary character.
Is she? She's been gone for 5 episodes. Is she really a primary character at this point? We've seen more of Luciana than we have of her. I don't know.
Well, this season, sure.
Need to know where she is. What happened? Do we think that she's maybe...
I think she's with the Walker crew. And I'm calling them the Walker crew because the guy's name
is
Walker.
I was going to agree with you. I completely agree that she might be with them as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's where she is. I think Strand will somehow get out of it, though he's going to be in dire straits for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll find somebody still in the hotel and we'll get to find out what happened.
Do you think he'll come across Elena?
Actually, yeah. If he's going to come across anybody, it's going to be... it's probably going to be her.
Yeah. Or a cousin.
Or a cousin.
Or a brother, whoever he was.
Daniel, though, like... Boy is on a hunt for a needle in a haystack. Like,
yeah.
He's trying to find his girl and his daughter, not girl, like, in a relationship. sorry, that sounded really weird. He's trying to find his daughter, and he's not going to fare very well when he has no idea the politics and what's happening around in this world at the moment.
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts on where Daniel's going?
I feel like...
Because he's kind of a loose cannon right now, for some reason.
I think he's just probably going to drive around, and he'll probably come across something.
Or he'll go back to the dam, I guess, and back to...
That's true, back to Lola.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they addressed that in the beginning of the episode.
They had a thing.
Yeah.
Because he was like, everybody loves Lola.
Well, it's funny, because in the beginning of the episode, you know, Strand had said to Daniel, you know, you have to protect... the dam from wolves because everybody will find the water source. Maybe he's going to go back to the dam and wait for Ophelia because if she's smart, she will go to where a water source is.
I mean, it's not the only water source, but...
It's a big water source.
It is a big water source.
Just
so,
saying.
Yeah.
I think that's what might happen is that Ophelia will find him instead of him finding Ophelia. That's my theory
okay,
on,
yes,
that,
I
on
agree.
That relationship.
I agree with that. I think he's going to have to come to terms with not seeing her again before she's like, what's up?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
I'm here. Yeah.
In terms of Madison, I think that Madison will... I feel like Madison is more of a sleeper cell than Luciana could have been.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Obviously, because
but we all know
she,
that.
Yeah. But I feel like she's doing it in a better way than, you know, guns a-blazing. I feel like she... Winning people over one by one, like you said that she was doing with the soldiers.
It's the playing chess and not checkers.
Thank you. Exactly. It's a slow game. It's a slow burn. It's not a quick...
Thank you, Kirby.
Yes, thank you, Kirby. And thank you, everybody in the chat. You guys have been awesome this episode. I do want to give some shout-outs really quick to some of our viewers. Lily2B and Corey J, thank you guys for tuning in last week. Stephanie Cersei, who's in the chat now, I just want to kind of, just going to our predictions, she said that it's never been confirmed that Strand was gay, because I made... a comment last episode about Strand being gay, and she said it's never been confirmed that he's gay. And then Donqua Brooks says that Strand just will screw anything to get what he wants.
Yeah,
do we agree?
I agree.
You don't think that he's honestly, you know,
I mean, he could be bisexual.
No, sure. I meant that he was gay. I thought he was completely gay. I didn't think that.
Oh no, I mean. I don't like to assume anything until it's proven otherwise, and...
That's true.
Just because you've slept with one dude doesn't mean...
That you're gay.
Yeah, so...
Or does it? I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, I just... I would... And I don't know if I'm saying this because I would like him to be gay, because mm-hmm. he doesn't fit into your stereotypical gay character.
Sure.
Which I just think broadens other people's horizons who are watching this show.
Sure.
But I feel like he really did love Thomas, and I feel like he's gay. Stephanie, I'm sorry, I feel like he's gay. But I could see why we would think that he would just screw anything to get what he wanted, because he is a con artist.
Right.
I don't know. That was just, yeah. So thank you, Stephanie Searcy and Donqua Brooks, for giving us your opinions on our YouTube chat.
Yeah.
And that goes to everybody in our chat now. You know, leave us your comments. We're going to have to wrap up soon. But leave us your comments. Tweet at us using hashtag FearTheWalkingDead.
Tell us your predictions, because we're just talking at each other here, and we would love to hear what you guys have.
Exactly. And everybody, Jin Cat, Kirby Freeman, everybody in the chat, thank you guys so much. Natalie, where can they find you?
You can find me at Natalie Dyer, NataleeDyer, on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr, and I think my Snapchat's
around. And all social media.
All social media, for everywhere. The most part, yeah.
Guys, at I Am Timothy Mike is where you can find me on all social media platforms. Once again, thank you guys. Everybody in the live chat, everybody who's going to, you know, watch this later on, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.